Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this Retina UK information webinar. My name's Kate Arkell. I'm the Research Development Manager at Retina UK. This evening, I'm really delighted to be joined by Ethan, who's living with an inherited retinal condition called Stargardt disease and is currently taking part in a clinical trial. And we're also joined by his mum, Bhavna Taylor, who is the founder and chief executive of Stargardt's Connected, an organisation focused specifically on supporting families affected by Stargardt disease, raising awareness and facilitating progress towards treatments. Bhavna is here tonight principally, though, as Ethan's mum, and the three of us will be discussing the family's clinical trial experiences. My colleague Jane Russell, who's the communications manager at Retina UK, is also here in the background to help manage your questions at the end. If you have a question for Bhavna or Ethan, please type it into the Q&A box in Zoom at any time during the webinar, and we will ask the question on your behalf at the end. So let's get going. Ethan, do you want to just introduce yourself a little bit? Do you just want to say how old you are and a little bit about your journey with Stargardt's and what your eyesight is like now?
Yeah. So my name's Ethan. I'm currently 16 years old in year 11. And I was diagnosed at the age of 7 years old. And it's like, I've got a progressive condition, so slowly gets worse and worse and worse. And currently what I'm kind of seeing is it's just quite blurry, and it affects the center of my vision. So there's like a blind spot in the center of my eye, and the peripheral vision, which is the outer part of my eye, is clearer, but still not as clear as someone who would have like normal sight.
Okay, thank you, Ethan. So we're here tonight to talk about clinical trials. Clinical trials are experiments essentially that aim to gather definitive results about the safety and efficacy of a new treatment. And they generally have three phases that move from very small numbers of people, where the focus is primarily on safety, through to phase three, which normally has quite a few more people, and looks a lot more at how effective the treatment actually is in making an impact on the condition. So Ethan, can you tell us about the clinical trial that you're actually taking part in, and when did you start?
So I'm taking part in the clinical trial. It's called the Dragon Study, and Tinlarebant, and it's these little pills that I take through my arm. And I take them every single day at a certain time around 6 o'clock, which is when I take them. And I started the trial about was it 2 years ago?
No, it was about 18 months. I think it was June. I actually remember the date. It was July the 6th. Well, that was that the screening? Yeah, so July the 6th, 2022. Yeah, 2022, I think. So I think it's for 2 years. So I think it will come up to the end in July again. Yeah.
And this is a treatment that's specifically for Stargardt disease?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know how the drug works, roughly, just basically?
So what I've been told and what I think I know is that there is like vitamin A buildup around like the back of my eye, and it kind of removes that from the back of my eye and will almost just slow down the progression of my condition.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a disease mechanism that's quite specific to Stargardt disease, and that's why this particular treatment is aimed at Stargardt's. So you've told us that the actual treatment is a pill that you take orally. What else do you have to do as a participant?
So every 3 months, I would go into more fields, and I'd do kind of like checkups. And also kind of, yeah, basically checkups on how like my body and my eyes are like, have been affected basically. So I've had like blood tests, I'd have like my body weight and height checked. And then I'd also do, like eye tests, for example, yeah. Like visual acuity, or I'd have an OCT scan, and just anything to kind of check how my eyes are doing, and if there's any issues, or if my eyes are improving, or if it doesn't work. So basically, just general checkups to see if what the pill was doing and if it's working or anything along those kind of lines.
And do you have to like keep a journal at home or anything like that?
Yeah, so when I take the I have to jot down the time every time I take the pill. So obviously the doctors know, because the pill is supposed to be taken at a specific time every single day. It doesn't matter when it is, but I decided to take it at 6 o'clock or 6 p.m. every single day. And then you have to jot down, for example, like if I take it at 6:04, 6:02, or just any of those times. And then also we have a journal. If I take, for example, if I like fall to some illness, if I have like a cold or anything, and I take like paracetamol or any sort of medicine, or I'd have to jot that down as well.
Okay. Bhavna, how did you both hear about the possibility of Ethan taking part in this trial?
So we got contacted by Moorfields, actually. So it's the study doctor who contacted me and told me about the trial and said, you know, he was invited for the screening, actually. So when we got invited, we weren't told he wasn't on the trial, but they must have had like an eligibility criteria. And from there they said he was selected, and then they said okay, we'll go for some screening. So that's what we, and we had an opportunity to talk to the doctor and sort of ask any questions beforehand. So
Ethan was already a patient at Moorfields, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, but then you had to go for screening. It wasn't like they could just look at his notes and get him straight on the trial. They had to do some tests to start with.
Because of the criteria, they've got to make sure that it matches. So I think they called him in, and that was the screening bit initially, and that was a whole day. So, you know, they were doing, I mean, they had lots of tests. So they did ECGs, you know, they were doing the visual acuity test, which is like the sight test. They did bloods, they did everything, you know, just to check to see if he would be eligible. So that was a whole day. So that, and it was from there that they then make that decision. So they have like something called the reading centre. So they send off all the results to these doctors involved with the study, and then they decide if he would be eligible or not.
And what were your first thoughts as a mum when you were presented with this option for Ethan?
Yeah, I was really excited. I think you're told, so Ethan was diagnosed when he was 7. You're told there's no treatment, no cure. And you're told there's hope, but you know, you know for a fact, I know that, you know, treatment will come across, you know, you have to go through these trials to get a treatment. So actually, and also you feel quite helpless because you're told there's no treatment, no cure, you know, this, you know, you're doing the best you can. So that when you're actually being involved and asked to be part of a trial, you feel like actually you're doing something. So I was excited. I was, you know, obviously apprehensive, but I was, you know, the initial thing was, yes, this, you know, I, you know, this was good news.
Yeah. And the trial is being, well, Ethan's attending the trial site at Moorfields. Participants in a proper clinical trial are never paid to take part in a clinical trial, but do you get things like expenses covered?
Yeah, definitely. So we get our travel expenses covered, and because we're there all day, we get money for lunch and breakfast as well. So it's just, yeah, so sort of food expenses and travel expenses are paid.
Okay. Ethan, what did you think of the idea at first?
I actually didn't mind it at all, but the only thing that was kind of set me back is blood tests. I've never ever liked them, and it's just been, that was everything else I was completely fine with, but blood test was the one thing that actually almost made me think that I didn't want to do it. I've just always been scared of them. I've always been scared of them.
It's
something I didn't want to do. But once I got into the actual trial and I had my bloods, and there's like things that can help. If, for example, I take like numbing cream on my arm, so I don't even feel the needle, like I don't even feel it at all. I'm completely like, I'm fine with it, you know.
I think, I mean, he's always had a phobia of needles. So this was part of his, when he had his genetic testing done and he was only 7. And I remember there was that time, and after that, I think, poor trauma and everything. So when we had that conversation with the study doctor, and he was telling us all, I said, well, what does he need to do? Because, well, he's going to have a fast. He's 14 at that point, told he's going to not eat anything, and then told that he's got to have a blood test. I knew that was going to be an issue. So Ethan was really anxious, and then I what has been really lovely is that we have this kind of, you know, this is to and fro in conversation. So I sort of messaged them and said, look, he's really anxious. Is there anything that you can do? He's not worried about anything else. This is the thing that he's really worried about. And I said, well, we've got something called Emlocrine. We can put it on. You know, we can think of distraction, you know, we have a bit of a strategic plan, which was distraction and also the fasting. So, you know, we brought a snack with us because he has to fast for about 10 hours. So, you know, all of those things. And we're thinking, which I think he wasn't really keen on.
No.
The cream has really helped, I think. And I think, you know, I mean, this is, you know, 18 months on now, I think. And I think we're a lot better.
Yeah.
And Ethan, I mean, you're quite a young man. So had you ever previously thought about taking part in research? Had it ever crossed your mind? Or were you just getting on with life?
I never really sat down and thought about it. Like, I think you must have asked me like at one point if I'd take part of it, if I'd take part in any sort of trial, but I never really, I'm kind of like, just, yeah, I'll do it, you know? I'm that type of person, but like, I never really thought about it. I just thought that maybe a treatment will happen or a cure or something, and then I'll just take that. I never really thought about going into like the whole like research side and clinical trial side of it.
Yeah. And Bhavna, as you said, you were initially quite excited, but what sort of other thought processes did you follow before you actually went for it? Did you balance up pros and cons? What were the potential cons, do you think?
Yes, I think not knowing that it's not a treatment, I think that's the other thing. So you are thinking, I mean, it's a phase three trial. So I was, as well as the excitement was there, but I was also quite apprehensive thinking, you know, about side effects. You know, you're thinking about, initially I was thinking it's like, almost being like a guinea pig, you know, like you don't know. But then I spoke to Ethan's consultant, who's also the principal investigator of the trial, and he was saying, actually, these things are so well regulated. There's so much, you know, you have the ethics committee and everything that has so much to go through. And I thought, actually, he sort of allayed my fears. And I think the other thing was, I just thought, the other thing you are told that, We talked about it as a family, but I've always, and I say to him, it's not my decision, it's his decision. And I think that's really important. And I still say to him, you know, we were told, you're not, you can, if you don't want to do it, you can drop out any time. There's, you know, obviously you're not paid for it. You don't have to pay them anything or anything, but you know, you've got those choices, and that's, they're really open about that. And I think that was their thinking, okay, you're not forced. You're not like, it's not tied in for 2 years. You know, obviously you want to continue. So I think those were kind of, that was kind of one of my thought process. The other thing was, initially you had to go for the first 3 months, it was every month. And I also thought, he's going to be, now he's in his GCSE year. And I was thinking about the time and being, you know, of.
Yeah, it's a huge thing.
It is. And you've got to put that into consideration. You do have, so you don't, you have like, for your study visits, you're given like a leeway about 7 days or so, you know, so what I've been doing, we've been doing, is trying to do it. So his next visit is in half term, so we try not to miss a lot of the school days.
Yeah.
So provide a letter. So they have a template letter for schools to explain, this is your child's on the trial, you know, and this is, you know, this is the reason, you know, that's why. So they, you know, so the school doesn't think you're just going out somewhere, you know. I think it was things like that. Those were the pros. The actual pros was, and I think this was also highlighted, you're having these regular checkups. So his bloods are done regularly. You know, his height and weight's done regularly.
Yeah.
His eyes are being checked. You know, the visual
acuity. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, you just actually think, you know, you're waiting. You know, normally you wait a year before you see your consultant to get that regular checks to make sure he's got, you know, a good bill of health. It's good. I feel that's reassuring for me as well.
Actually, that's something other people who've taken part in clinical trials have said that they really value that contact with, you know, that sort of lengthy contact and regular contact with sort of people who are really experts in the field. So, that sort of backs that up. And clearly, I mean, you mentioned about the blood test issue. You clearly felt able to ask questions and get things clarified. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing was, it's these kind of, if things aren't right, or, you know, in terms of, we were able to talk about it. So when they were, you know, they can make those tweaks and changes. So there is some flexibility, and it's an open conversation. So there was one, you know, in terms of visual acuity test, we found it was better for him to do it in the morning, for, you know, because in the afternoon he's more tired. So those kind of things you can sort of talk about. And even like when to take this, it's called, we call it a study drug, because it's not actually, you know, we don't know if it's the actual drug or placebo. So we were given the flexibility of when to take it, but we had to sort of stick to that time. And I thought, teenage child, I'm not going to do it in the morning. I'm going to do it in the morning. You're not going to be waking up in the morning to take. Yeah. So I think so this was kind of our, we had that, and that was quite good as well. And the other thing is there's, you know, we have that time to talk to the study doctor every time we go there. We've got the research nurses, we can ask, you know, we're really at our data and saying, you know, his data and saying, how is things, what do you, you know, so all of those things. And that's really, yeah, so I think that's been really positive, actually.
Yeah.
Ethan, do you know if your participation in this trial impacts your eligibility for other trials in the future?
I think, yeah, because you don't realise what you're kind of trying to get. Was I saying that? You don't really know what you're getting into before you get into the trial, because you've never experienced it before, especially one like this. So kind of knowing what a trial is going to be like, and knowing that it's not bad. Like, I think if there's like another trial that comes up and it seems like promising, then yeah, potentially I'd.
And this being an oral medication, I don't think it actually would stop you in terms of eligibility, would it, Bhavna?
It doesn't. I think they say it flushes out within a week, you know, I think of a week or so. So I think a couple of weeks you give it. So yeah, I think, no, it doesn't. And that was the other thing we also asked. That was the other thing I wanted to know. Would it stop him being eligible for other things? And they said no. So that was probably another thing that kind of was a consideration towards knowing that actually.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, that's quite a big one for so many of the treatments that are being developed for the Retina UK community across the community are gene therapies. And those are basically treatments that are one-off injections into the back of the eye with a treatment effect that potentially lasts for life, we would hope. But that would, if somebody entered a clinical trial of one of those kinds of treatments, they would potentially not be able to take part in other clinical trials in the future. They may be eligible for other treatments once the treatment's licensed, but they may not be able to take part in further trials because their gene therapy may be affecting the outcome, and that would disrupt the experiment. Ethan, you've talked a little bit about your screening tests. So that took a whole day.
Yeah.
What were the tests you had to do?
During my screening?
Yeah, just for your screening.
So I think I started off with kind of like blood tests. Was it blood? Yeah, so I had my blood tests. I had ECGs. I had my body weight and height checked. And then urination, all that kind of stuff. So basically just all the standard like body kind of
thing. General health, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And then for my eye test, I'd had a visual acuity test, which is basically when you read something off a chart, and they put it, so they test each eye out, because they want to find a study eye. Mm-hmm. And then so you'd cover one eye, or they'd have like a patch on one eye, and then you'd have like some sort of, did I have glasses on, like prescription?
They do the so they check to see, they like an, it's an optometrist, so in terms of the lenses, they'll just check to see if he has got a prescription to make sure it's corrected, that doesn't impact it. And then after that, they have a study eye. So you'll have even though the study drug's not going to impact just one eye, that you have to choose the eyes, and that's part of the screening as well.
Yeah. So, I've had like lenses on just so, yeah, I'd have lenses on, and then they like bring the chart forward and back to see.
Okay.
So my vision was like my short distance vision and my long distance vision, and then they'd also test out it in the dark as well, to see how my vision would be in the dark, and they'd also have another test, which is I think it's called contrast, and what it is, it's like a board full of words. letters, sorry. And they get like fainter and fainter and fainter.
Oh, okay.
So that was all for my visual acuity test. And then I'd have, I can't remember the specific names of the machines or what
That's
the
okay.
tests are, but I know there's one where they take a picture of the back of your eye to see kind of how your eye looks. And then they'd put drops in my eye just to check kind of the front bit of it. I don't know what the machines are called actually.
There's OCT scans.
Yeah,
the different scan, loads of scanning machines. They check also the central vision.
Yeah.
Don't they as well?
And then they you have check yeah. my Do they do on my screen? Do they do dark adaptation? Yes.
Yeah, they do as well. So they do. Yeah.
Which is where I get put in like a dark room to see how my vision would be within the dark. So what it would be, I'd have. So what the machine consists of is you first sit in a like dark room for about 20-ish minutes. So then your eyes adapt to the dark. And then you get put in a machine where it puts very faint lights on. Then you have to press a button every time you see that faint line.
Okay.
Light. And then so that would just test your vision in the dark.
And are you doing this every time you go now that you're, you know, once the trial got underway?
So I think some of it.
Some of it I do. Like I haven't done the ECG for a while.
Okay.
All the bloods, urination, body weight and height, that's all something I do every time.
The scanning of the eyes. Well, so it does I must say, it does take quite a long, so I think it all varies what they will test, but it is a long day.
Yeah, it's a, once I get to like, well, once I've had my breakfast, it's I'm actually quite all right. And then once it gets to the end of the day, it gets quite tiring. Because
it's quite exhausting, yeah.
You know, I've just been, it's like, it's almost like a workout for your eyes, because it's just...
yeah.
Constantly doing tests with like your whole body doesn't do anything else, it's just your eyes. So
yeah.
Then you're not getting like a bit of a headache at the end of the day because you had to keep your eyes still in one position and everything like that.
It is hard work, and I think people underestimate the commitment and the energy that has to go into to taking part in a trial. How did you feel when you took that first tablet, Ethan?
The funny thing is, when we first took it, we were kind of just like it was almost like we were just analyzing it. Like, I took it normally after, but we're looking at it, like smelling it, didn't smell of anything. It was so small, you wouldn't even realize. But like, we're just looking at it, and then I took it, and then like, obviously, I didn't expect anything to happen instantly, but I kind of just stood there and just waited, and then nothing just happened, and it's just like, oh.
Bhavna, what about you? Was it scary?
It was, yeah. I was like, is he going to grow horns? No. No, do you know something? I think again, it's like excitement, but also like apprehension, that sort of trepidation. So I was just like, oh, yeah, it was. And you just, like you say, you're like, nothing's going to happen, but you're just sort of thinking, oh, okay. And also the thing about it being a potential placebo on a not, we were just thinking, is it not? You know, so that was...
Yeah.
But yeah, I think... it was things like deciding what time we were going to take, you know, those kind of things, like what is there going to be the time and that we take the, you know, so those kind of, we were discussing. And the other thing is remembering. So we have to put an alarm on every day.
Yeah, we have to put an alarm on. Like,
even now, like the alarm goes off and it's like, right, 6 o'clock, right, we've got to go, and you know, and we've got this study diary, which I actually fill in. And that's good, cause we have to give that in as well to the doctors at the time. So you have, that's all, that's part of your commitment of these things, that you're, when you, you know, you're saying that you are, will you know, they want to know. And what Ethan also said about taking, if he has been unwell, I also asked, you know, we were asking them, I suppose it depends on the trial, but you know, was he able to take certain things, like, you know, like the paracetamol, things like that. And so you have to note that down, because they want to know everything else.
Absolutely everything. But yeah,
and if he's been unwell, we can write that, you know, we think might be related to it. If he has, then we just write it down. It might not be related at all, but just, they just want to know all the data.
Absolutely, because it has to be so scientific, and you know, it has to be. And part of that, of course, is the possibility of placebo. How, for those who don't know, so placebo would be taking a dummy drug, a pill that's fake, and neither Ethan or Bhavna or the doctors doing the testing would know if Ethan was on placebo or not. So how do you feel about the whole placebo thing? How does it feel knowing that Ethan might be taking placebo?
So initially I was like, oh, you want the study drug? You know, I wanted it. But I think seeing the bigger picture, I think actually being just being part of the trial is okay. That we did study it. Like, is it? You know, we're looking at the. I was like, what's the? I was like, no, we're not. They're not going to be any different. You know, so. But yeah, no, I think it's you're part of a trial, and that's what you've agreed to. Do you know what I'm saying? You're part of this whole thing, and it's all informing research.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought. And you don't know, the study doctor doesn't know, we don't know still, we don't, and I think actually we've accepted it, whatever it is, we're part of this, we're informing it, and that's the way it is. So initially I think we were like, oh, we, you know, we kind of want the study drug, but I think afterwards we were like, okay, it is, I don't know how you feel.
I mean, I think there's always going to be the hope that you want it to be the study drug, because you've been taking something for so long, it's just like, you want to see, because there's also, I think, for me, the biggest thing is, just out of curiosity, I want to know if like what it would do, because I don't know if I'm on it or not, but it's just there's that curiosity to behind it, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Do you know if you'll be told at the end of the study when you finish taking it, if you'll be told which one you were on, or
aren't we? Do we get told? Because it's so random, it's randomized double mark, so nobody knows. I think it's the computer generates a number, and they, I think that's it. And I think that maybe the pharmacist knows when they give it, or that's it.
Yeah, somebody must know.
Must know. And they actually said if we needed to find out, we'd break into the computer. Like, you know, if we had to stop the study for any part, they would, you know, they would find out.
Yes, actually,
they would have to stop, that we would not be part of it.
Yeah, so, that's important to say, actually. If there was a safety concern, if Ethan became unwell in a way that was causing serious concern, they would unmask and find out and work out if there was any relationship with the drug.
Yeah, and I think we are told, aren't we, afterwards? Do you know?
Are we told after the whole study's finished? Or?
You'll be told at some point, I think, when there's data. And yeah, Ethan's finished. But of course, the study will go on for some time longer, won't it? Because do you want to just say a bit about that? Because obviously, Ethan, you were quite early on, weren't you? You were quite an early enrollment.
And, no, I was the first patient to be screened, right?
I think he was one of the first people to be called, but he's, one of the first people to be screened, and so then go on the trial after that. But because they're recruiting, it takes, so I think they finished recruiting just last year, last year of sort of summer. So that's a year after he started.
Yeah.
So even though he's finishing in July, August, there will be other people still start, you know.
Who are only halfway through.
Halfway through it. So it's, even though we've finished, the trial hasn't finished.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that clinical trials do take so long. So Ethan, you're being followed for, you're taking the drug and being monitored for 2 years, right? But obviously somebody who only started last year, they've got to get through their whole 2 years. And this is one of the reasons why trials do take so long, because you can't fully analyze the results until everybody, and there'll be multiple sites across the world as well, till everybody at every site has finished and all the data is there. So now you're well on your way to getting to the end, Ethan. How do you feel it's been? Are you still feeling positive about it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I can never tell if it's worked or not, to be honest, because it's such a slow progressing condition as well. So you don't know if it's actually done anything, or even if it's actually the actual study drug. But I'm still kind of like, I'm gonna miss the 6 o'clock alarm.
I know. I think it's just been, we've just got used to it. Just, I think in terms of, it's not high, apart from going to screening, it's just taking that, it's
a pill, yeah.
Just popping it in your mouth, you know. I think that's
the whole, yeah, the most difficult bit is just trying to remember it, I'll be honest. Because, like, for example, if we go out somewhere,
yeah,
we'd be like,
I always take it with
we always got to make sure, before we leave the house, we're like, okay, we've got to make sure we have it. It's just like, it's such a last minute thing, like, it's almost like forgetting your, it's almost like your passport before you go to the airport. It's just like, you got to make sure you have it, because.
Yeah.
Are there restrictions when you have it around food? Do you have to have it on an empty stomach? No.
You can. I can just have it at Literally, not even with water, just take it anytime.
And actually, the timing wise is what, and it's not hard and fast in terms of exactly on the dot, it's around the time as well.
Yeah, it doesn't, flexibility. As long as you're not taking it at like 5:59 on like a Tuesday, and then you take it at like 8 o'clock on the same Tuesday, like as long as you're taking it within quite a big span of time.
Yeah,
I think it's completely fine. Like there has been times when I've taken it, like, for example, maybe like half an hour late because something is just like I've been out or something like that.
Yeah, or you're late back or something. Yeah.
But we write everything down as well. I think that's important. So if it is, we'll write. I mean, I'm really specific. So I'll write 1801 or 1802. We're like on the, you know, because I think that's part of the thing that you're doing. You know, making sure that you are noting things down correctly as well. So.
Yeah. You're part of the research team, really. Yeah, I mean, has it felt a bit like that? Has it felt like a collaboration?
Yeah, I mean, we chat. We've got a good, you know, they do. You know, we have an opportunity, don't we? When we, especially with the study doctor, he'll say, "Right, what's going on? You know, how's it all going? Anything? You know, he'll know that." And it's a male and female. We see both, don't we? And then they just ask, and then we have an opportunity, don't you? You have an opportunity to ask questions. I have an opportunity to ask questions, and we all give our feedback about things. So if there's certain tests that are quite trying, like the one that we talked about, it's quite, and then we'll all sort of feedback and say this has been quite tricky. And you know, sometimes they'll say, well, actually, there were conditions, but you don't have to do all of them, you know. And I think that feedback is there.
So there's a bit of flexibility and a bit of to and fro.
Yeah, and I think they want to know that, like, you're the one who's going through it. So yeah, you are part of the research team because you're informing them, you're going through it. And Ethan needs to be able to, you know, and I think it's really important. And I do say to Ethan, I said, it's a bit like for anything, advocacy, isn't it? And just saying, like, this is what's been tricky, or this is okay. Or actually, as an example, the first thing was like the blood test. If I'd said, oh, he's going to be fine, and he wasn't, I think that would have been quite a negative thing. But we addressed, you know, we talked about it. There's trying to solutions around these things, and they want to know. So I think it's important as well that we have that. And I, as a parent, I'll sort of say, oh, you know, I'll be asking and things. So I do sort of say to them, well, how was it last time, and how's this going? You know, I will be asking them questions around his results as well, like that, and those kind of things. And Ethan, we'll discuss things as well. And I do, that conversation as well goes on. And I do say to Ethan all the time, and I think it goes back to that whole family decision, but also his decision, saying this is okay. You know, if you want to stop, you can anytime. But actually, we've got to a point where, like, we're on the home run.
yeah. You're so nearly there. Have you ever had moments, Ethan, where you just thought, oh, I can't be bothered. I don't want to do this anymore. It's getting in the way too much. These appointments are making me miss school. Or
I think more or less, I think the worst one was probably my last one was when I felt the most, I wouldn't say bad, but I just felt so tired. I was so, like, I don't know what it was about it. I think it was just, maybe it was the time of the year. The tests I did, I was just, like, I came out of the hospital, I was just like, oh, God. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, which is completely understandable because it's, you know, you're doing the same things every time you go. And it's really hard work. But the thing is, by having that conversation, by giving that feedback, you're not only making a difference to this trial, you're making a difference, hopefully, for trials that come in the future, because the clinicians and the researchers are learning from your feedback just what it's like to do the trial. And that's so, so important. It's so important that participants have a fairly, you know, comfortable experience. There are going to be things that aren't great, like having blood tests, but it's so important that things are as easy as they can be for people taking part.
It's even with the blood test. I mean, initially, and I think it's a part of a teenage thing, you'd feel a bit lightheaded and headed. And so the other thing we said, well, why don't we do it on the bed? You know, if you're going to feel things like that, you know, obviously he's a lot, you're like pro now, but you know, it's just, but yeah, it is things like that. And then them knowing and those, them being informed is really important. I do also feel some of the tests, some days are longer, some of the study days. So I think when it's a lot, and it was like the winter, it's dark, you know, I'm tired.
Yeah,
and
dark when you get there, dark when you come out.
Like, it just, yeah. And I think, also with Stargardt's as well, I think, you know, from our experience, support to other families and people, there are going to be good days and bad days as well. Some days your site's you find things harder, it's trickier, tired as well. So all of those you have to take into consideration.
So Bhavna, what would you say now to another parent whose child was offered the opportunity to take part in a clinical trial?
I think, you know, you have to have that conversation with your family and with a person taking part, whether it's yourself or, you know, your child. Yeah, if it's your child, obviously your child. I think the way I see it is, you know, especially with rare diseases, it's so for me, you know, for pharma companies to be interested in something for a rare condition, you know, it's very, you know, it's not always very often. You don't always have one thing that they struggle with also is getting the numbers, the participants.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, that part was important because they're going to want to fund or, you know, sponsor these trials if they've got the numbers. So I think actually for us, that was important, that actually, yes, let's be part of this research. But I do think it's really down to the individual. You've got to discuss that. You've got to think about, again, you know, we were talking about, you know, if Ethan was doing this when he started his A-levels, would we have done, you know, those kind of things? Is it, what impact is it going to have? I think in terms of travel, when where luckily doesn't take us that long getting there. I know there's options of accommodation if you're traveling, you know, that.
Yeah, so there will be.
Those things you've got to discuss. And the type of trial, what it is. But I would also say, don't be afraid to ask and don't be afraid to talk. And when you're talking to the study coordinator or the study doctor, do speak to them. And our experience in that way has been really positive. They've really listened and they've really taken on board. So I think don't feel like, oh, okay, I've got to do this or I'm not going to. Oh,
absolutely.
You're not just a passive person in this. You're our experience has been we're an active participant. We are, you know, yes, we're informed by doing the test, you're obviously informing research, but by speaking to them and telling them, you're also informing research as well. So I think having those to's and fro's conversations is really important. I think things to consider
And you've actually just touched on something there by saying, you know, you're being part of another type of research in a way in giving them lots of feedback, is that of course clinical trials aren't the only kind of research that people are needed for, and there are lots of other types of research, studies just following the course of a disease without any treatment, called a natural history study. It's so important because researchers can't design clinical trials, they can't really understand the effect of a treatment if they don't completely understand how a condition behaves without any treatment. And then once a treatment has shown efficacy in a clinical trial, it's then got to go through a process to be made available to the public. And that requires drug companies, for example, to really illustrate how the condition impacts somebody's life and what difference the treatment can make. And the only people who can really say how the condition impacts their life are the people who are living with it. And so there are other kinds of research, things like surveys or even just interviews with people about day-to-day life that are so, so important and are such a key part of getting a drug through and available on the NHS. Ethan, how do you feel about, you know, you've put all this commitment into a clinical trial. How do you feel about taking part in other types of research that are not clinical trials?
I've actually taken part of a bit of research, like studies before. I was part of the natural history. Natural history trial, which is where they kind of just get information about, was it my condition?
Yes, I think when he was first diagnosed, he was offered to be part of a natural history trial at that time. And we were like, yeah, and we were told it's not a clinical trial, but it's about following sort of prognosis as well. You know, it will help sort of inform prognosis, but also how the disease progresses, really, progression of the disease. And I thought, yeah, we were like up again at that time. I knew it was in trouble. I thought, yes, definitely up for it. Again, exactly what you said, Kate, is about informing research.
Yeah.
And actually, now I look back at it because he was quite young, so he'd only be there for a couple of us. But as he got older, the screening, it was similar to the clinical trials on in terms of, you know, looking at the back of the eye. That's a lot of it's around imaging. And I think he's kind of given that experience helped him with this as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just have, because I knew what to do. I didn't go into it kind of like unknowingly. And I knew, I kind of, majority of the machines that I did, I was like, yeah, I've done this before. So it's just like.
Okay.
And actually, yeah. They did comment that he was quite good with it because he was so used to it. He was quite good at getting good images.
Yeah.
Had that experience,
yeah.
So that was something that, because he goes, oh, I've seen this before, I've done this before, kind of thing. So that's that familiarity.
That's quite interesting, actually. You've become a pro research participant by doing a natural history study first,
yeah. But, going back to your question, I think that just taking, I think something I quite enjoy about, on this clinical trial and being on any other trials is getting that information for researchers and kind of. Just knowing more about the condition, so there's more, so there's like a higher possibility of treatments and cures possibly in the future.
Yeah.
It's just really like, it's kind of, it brings almost like hope in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's bringing hope to so many other people as well. Thank you very much for being so candid and sharing all of that with us. We've kind of got to the end of the questions that I had, but a couple of people have put questions in the chat. Somebody's also wanted to say thank you to you, not just for tonight, but also just for all the work that you do, Bhavna, for the Stargardt's community. But there's a question. Do you think you were more willing to take part in the trial because it was an oral medication versus an injection into the eye, which sounds really scary? I agree. It does sound
definitely scary. Definitely. I don't even know now if I'd actually do the injection. Like I might do it when I'm older possibly, but I think just I similar to how I was scared of blood tests, an injection within my eye would just
that'd finish him off. Yeah.
Like I'd really, really not like to. There's a possibility, but for me currently, I think just definitely that's like one of the first questions. I think that's one of the first questions I asked.
Is it an injection in the eye or it's a study drug? And he goes, "What's the injection?" I said, "Well, you have to take a blood test." And that's what it was like.
I think that was
the bit that he was like, "I'm not sure." The only reason he wasn't gonna. And that, do you know what's really interesting? This is why it's so important. Like you know, you think, oh, people are worried about trials about just the actual trial, what you're doing itself, but it wasn't, it was part of the test that was what was making him feel worried rather than so it was part of one of the actual test requirements, so it's but big work for you.
so just so people know, the gene therapy type treatment, some of these treatments are injected into the retina, into the back of the eye under a general anaesthetic, which I suppose in some ways is less scary because you're not awake. And some treatments are injected into the jelly of the eyeball while somebody is awake. So that is obviously sounds quite scary. Ophthalmologists will talk about it in a very routine way. And they actually do this a lot just in as day cases or in outpatient clinics. But it does sound quite daunting, but I think it's possibly not as bad as it sounds. Another question we've got is, a little bit more for me, maybe, but Bhavna, maybe you can also add. For someone with RP, so obviously not Stargardt disease, how can somebody register for clinical trials? How do you get information about trials generally? So there are, excuse me, my speaker has just started making a noise.
We can hear you clearly.
Can you hear background noise?
No, I can hear you
clearly. Okay, I've got a bit of something strange going on. okay, that's stopped. It's a poltergeist. right, let's get the question back. So if you, to register for a clinical trial, there's lots of different ways of finding out about clinical trials. There, you can register actually with Retina UK, with the Lived Experience panel. We have a panel of people, almost 500 people now on our database. Can you hear that?
Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Okay, so sorry. I'm just going to turn the power off There we go. That's better. I know I'm dark, but at least there's no interruptions. So sorry, everybody. There's a speaker in my room that's just started to make lots of noise. There's a lived experience panel at Retina UK. You can join that and we will email you if we hear about opportunities to take part in the research. Those don't tend to be clinical trials so much. They tend to quite often be things like the natural history study that we just mentioned, but also interviews and surveys and things like that. Opportunities to make a difference to people's understanding of the conditions. Moorfields and other major centres for retinal disease research, Moorfields and Oxford, for example, actually keep their own databases of people who are keen to take part in research, and they can then review your medical records if a clinical trial or a similar study comes up, and they can work out if you might be eligible and then get in touch with you. So there's a website if you Google research opportunities at Moorfields and Oxford Eye Research Group, or Eye Research Group Oxford. They have opportunities to sign up to their database. You do have to share your medical records with them, so there is a bit of a process to go through. And the National Institute for Health Research, which is the research arm of the NHS, they have a website called Be Part of Research, and that also gives you the opportunity to search for clinical trials taking place in the UK, and you can search that by condition. So there's lots of different ways of finding out about what's going on in research and what clinical trials are going on and what other types of study are happening. Bhavna, have I missed anything? Can you think of anything else?
Yeah, no, it's usually the hospitals that would let you know, I think, as well. Like you said, you know, they'll review if you're on, you know, part of the hospital, they review your data. But yeah, I think what you said with the websites and things, that usually
And it's worth knowing as much about your condition as you can as well, because that empowers you. So get a genetic test, keep in touch with your ophthalmologist, you know, keep going to checkups if you're invited back, and make your own ophthalmologist aware that you're really keen to take part in research, and find out if they can put you in touch with any centres that are offering research. So I hope that answers the question, but if you want any more information, then you can obviously contact our helpline, helpline at retinauk.org.uk. I don't think we've got any more questions from the audience. So I just want to say, somebody's just typed in, they what an amazing young man, and you are, Ethan. I just want to say a huge thank you again to both of you for sharing your experiences so candidly. There've been some really valuable insights. And thank you to all of you at home who've joined our webinar. We hold webinar most months, so we'll soon be preparing our full programme for the rest of 2024. So keep an eye on our website and our newsletters for more information. Retina UK is a registered charity. We receive no government funding and rely on our wonderful supporters to raise the funds we need to continue to provide vital services and invest in groundbreaking medical research. You can make a donation via our website or by calling the office, and we will soon be launching an exciting new way that you can support us. So look out for that in our next edition of our newsletter, Look Forward. If you're interested in taking part in a challenge event in 2024, from running to hiking to skydiving, or you fancy organising your own event, then please get in touch with our fundraising team via fundraising@retinauk.org.uk to find out more about how we can support you. We'll be sending out an email over the next couple of days, which has details of where you can re-watch or listen to tonight's webinar, and details of how you can book on to other events. We'll also be seeking your feedback on today's session. We value all feedback, and yours will help us develop our webinars and other services. So thank you again. There's one last question just for somebody who has just typed in. We're based in Newcastle, so in terms of trials, would Moorfields go out to hospitals around the country? No, they won't. It doesn't matter where you live. You can take part in research trials in London if you live in Newcastle or Oxford or Manchester or wherever the trial may be based, but they can't look for you at Moorfields only your own hospital can look at your medical records and look for you. So part of, if you are in touch with us and you're on our lived experience panel, if we do know about it, we can tell you about it. We can also share these things in our newsletters. But if you can join things like the research database at Moorfields from Newcastle, by joining that database, you will give Moorfields permission to access your medical records, and then you will be picked up by their searches for participants. So I hope that answers the question. And the helpline, again, helpline@retinuk.org.uk can give you more information on that, things like links and things like that. So yeah, we can help you with that. But again, thank you very, very much. And I hope everybody has a good rest of the evening. Bye for now.
Thank you.